arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Jesus came to set captives free. That's what he came to do. He did not come to give us a heavenly insurance policy to simply give us security once we die and then leave us in a place where we continue to be dominated, manipulated, and controlled by demonic powers and sinful strongholds. You say, well, Pastor, how do you know that? Well, I know that because when Jesus ministered, he ministered to the spiritual, and then he would also minister to the physical. I believe you're the advanced class, so probably all of you know that you are not a physical being. No, this is not Star Wars movies. But you are not a physical being. You were created in the image of God. You are a spirit being. See, the world gets this all wrong. They want to say, well, if you mess up in your body, you know, those people who believe you just come back and start over again. So when we were in India, while people could literally starve to death, the cow is fat and sassy. While they have a holy cow and they have people dying. Because they don't know it may be Uncle Fred. And he's on his way to the higher class, you know, because he may have messed up pretty bad. So we're looking for Fred to come back reincarnated. And then they have their garden plots and they plant their vegetables. These are those who are not in Christ. And they don't kill the rats that go out and destroy. Because that may be Uncle Sam. Not picking on our government, but I could if you got me started. That might be Uncle Sam. And Uncle Sam may be way low because he was really bad. And we don't know, but that he, you know, it might be Sam, so we can't kill him. And in Hollywood, there's a lot of people, they want to believe if you mess it up the first time, just start over again. That is not the way it works. The Word says it was appointed unto man once to die. Once to die. After that, the judgment. So we are spirit beings. God breathed into that clay dirt house of Adam. He had no life until God breathed into him. God breathed into him, and in Genesis it says, the breath of life. And he became a living soul. You are a spirit being. If you had no eyes, you would still be able to see by the Spirit.
Thank you, Lord.
If you had no ears, you would still be able to hear. Amen. by the Spirit. If you have no heartbeat, you are still going to be alive as a spirit. Death can't destroy who you are. Death can take this breath and this house, and the word says this, dust to dust, right? The dust returns to the dust, but the spirit returns to God. Amen. Who made it? You are God's creation. I am God's creation. And God desires to do a work in us that is not only spiritual, but is also physical. And so he came to set captives, what?
Free.
He came to seek and to save the
lost.
Who the Son sets free is
free
indeed. So the freedom that God has for us is to be a spiritual freedom first that then manifests out through our physical house. In Corinthians, it talks in chapter 3 and chapter 6, and we sing a song about this. Know ye not, you are the
temple.
Well, who's he talking to? He's talking to godly people. Why is he saying you are the temple? Because God chooses to live in houses not made with hands. You are the temple. One of our first board members, she had a grand sense of humor. Sister Helen Woods. You remember Helen Woods? Helen said, some people are temples for Jesus, but there's a few of us that God lets be a grand cathedral. She was fluffy. And she said, I just get to be blessed to be one of God's grand cathedrals. God dwells in you. Well, what if Jesus is not Lord of your life? Then who?
Huh.
Well, let me say it differently. If Jesus is not Lord and Jesus is not filling your temple, then who is filling your temple? Just asking. Just saying. Only two choices. I always like multiple choices. Even when I hadn't studied, I figured I had a better chance than if not. I didn't like those fill in the blanks because I would go blank. But I like those multiple choice, and don't give me too many. If you give me more than five, I might get confused. But give me two and, you know, I'll guess. It's only two. So I'm going to start this morning by saying Jesus came to set captives free. That's spiritual and it's physical. It's mental. It's emotional.
Amen.
You all will hear me say this, and I have to say it because the Holy Spirit keeps putting it on my heart to say it. That I believe in miracles, signs, and wonders because God has done those in my life and in my family. And I have visually seen and experienced the power of God. So don't tell me God is not in the miracle business. Because I know better. I know better. Now you can go buy a really great book and read about somebody getting their miracle or having some wonderful things happen in their life. But let me tell you what's better than that. What's better than that is for you and me to believe and receive. And then we know what we know in our knower, and nobody, even the devil, can't take it from us.
Amen.
Because we know what we know. Somebody say, well, how do you know? Well, because I was there. Ask the blind man. He can help you understand. I once was blind, now I can see. Let me ask you another question. If you have been born again, truly born again, and you have the Holy Spirit bearing witness with your spirit that you're a child of God, then how can you question whether or not there are miracles? Do any of you remember who you were and what you were and what you said and what you thought and what you attempted to do when the old carnal, dead, natural, unborn again, lost man was running your life? Do any of you remember that? The Word says you become a new creation, if any is in Christ. Now, if you're not a new creation, we might want to pray again, because if you're in Christ, the Word says you're a new creation. If any is in Christ, behold, he is a new creation. The Greek grammar is he has become and he continues to become. You have a punctiliar, you have a spot, it's like a target on the wall. Bam! Perfect bullseye. At that moment, you're transformed. You have become a child of God, and you are becoming more like him as he continues to transform you. The Word says, be not conformed to this world. Why? Because if you're conformed to the world, then you're deformed out of the plans and purposes God had for you. So be not deformed or conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Yes, we believe in transformers. This room is full of transformers. Transformation, if any is in Christ, he's a new creation. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of our minds. God makes us new. Gives us new appetites, new desires. He changes us. So Jesus came to set captives free. I know that. And there's another thing that I know. I know that my spiritual man does not get sick. Say, well, how do you know that? Because I've had my body busted up, broken up, bleeding all over the place, and even pronounced dead. And I've had COVID to the point where I could barely guppy breath. That's all I could do. Could not get any air in my lungs. I know the devil was trying to kill me that day. I had probably less than 6 hours left to live. I know what it is to have my flesh sick and under attack. And at the same time, my spirit is full of peace and joy. So my spirit is saying, I've got you. Regardless of what's going on in the flesh, because my flesh is not really who I am. It's just the house I get to live in. It's going to go back to the dirt. But I'm a spirit being. You're a spirit being. And so my spirit does not get sick. No. The flu doesn't affect it. Cancer doesn't affect it. Heart disease doesn't affect it. Mental illness doesn't affect it. My spirit's not affected by any of those things. And I'll tell you something else that may shock you. But I know this because I've been in too many places with people who were dying. Many people who they say is unconscious and is in a coma, their spirit is still very much aware and awake and able to hear and receive, even though they say there's nothing going on in the brain.
That's right. Happened to me. Thank you, Lord.
And I've been with people. Some of you heard me tell the story about being called to Orlando to be with a man who was very hard-hearted, had no interest in God. His wife was a godly lady. And I talked to this man. He was deathly sick, in the hospital by this point. And his wife called a friend of mine that used to be one of our board members and said, couldn't you get that preacher back up here to go to the hospital? My husband's in a coma. He hasn't spoke, has had no response for days. He's hours from dying. Would you go get a hold of the preacher? Now, I'm so glad God let this happen, because when you are that bad, no one cares who goes to see you. There were no nurses. There was no one around. They'd totally given this guy up. He was curled up. He was in a fetal position. His brain had not had any signs of life in days. He had not groaned or made a sound. He was motionless. And I said, Father, what am I supposed to say to this man? Well, I'm driving up to Orlando. The Holy Spirit said, speak to him as if he was sitting there listening to you. So I shared with him the plan of salvation. I said, God so loved you, that John 3:16, just for you. And I walked through that scripture and I shared with him that Jesus came and died for his sins, even if he was in the last moments of his life, just like the thief on the cross. He didn't have a thing to offer to Jesus or the kingdom of God other than a heart that was black and a need for salvation. And God said, just tell him just like that. I stepped into the room. Nobody's there. Nobody cares. And I'm telling this man this, and he's laying there, and nothing is happening. And then I asked him, would you like to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? And that man opened up his eyes and looked at me and said, yes. That only has to happen to you one time in this life for you to know that you can speak to the spirit that's alive, even though a person has been dead. He said, yes, and I was shocked. And then I didn't know what to say for a second. And then I said, well, pray this prayer after me. And he prayed the prayer with me. And this man, with tears and a smile on his face, I said, do you have the assurance that you're a child of God? He said, yes, I do. I said, then you're going to step into the presence of God. I'm the only person that had any communication with this man. I called his family and said, this is what happened. He didn't say another word to anybody else. He didn't need to say another word to anybody else. His wife had been praying for him that he would come to salvation. And she believed God that even if he was beyond reach, that God could still save him. And I'm going to see that man in heaven one day. Because I spoke to his spirit. And his spirit was receptive. And his flesh had to receive what the spirit was saying yes to. I remember laying in the road and hearing someone say, it's a shame he's gone. That was the police officer that was in charge of the accident that I was in. It's a shame that he's gone. I don't know why he made that decision. I don't believe it was his first day as a police officer. I don't know what that decision was based upon. I don't know about any of that. But I heard the man say that. And I'm trying to talk to him, but I can't talk to him. But I heard everything that he was saying. And I would be there and I would be gone. And then I would be back. And I thought I was in heaven. I heard people singing in heavenly languages. Don't tell me that there are not heavenly languages. I heard these people singing in heavenly languages. I thought I was with a bunch of angels in heaven. And I just didn't have visual ability to see what was happening yet. And then I would go back out of consciousness or whatever, and then I would be back again. And as long as they were singing, I didn't have any pain whatsoever. Now, I didn't know that my body had collided with a car, it totaled the car, that I was airborne in the air 50 feet, and then slid I don't know how far. I don't know about all of that. I didn't know about all of that. I'm laying there in the road, and I hear somebody say, it's a shame he's gone, so I figure I'm in heaven. Until someone said, does anyone know who this guy is or how to get a hold of somebody? And I said, yes, call the church office. 772 220-0602. And then I couldn't speak anymore. They wrote the number down. I'm just telling you, we are a spirit being that lives in a fleshly house. Why is it that we let our flesh dominate and dictate and control too much of our spirit? Why shouldn't the anointing of God that's upon us in the spirit, why shouldn't our finances prosper as our soul prospers? Why shouldn't our health prosper as our soul prospers? Just asking the question. So the church office got a phone call from somebody that just showed up at the scene and said, some man just said he's the pastor of this church. He's in a motorcycle accident and gave us this phone number. And I didn't say anything else to anybody else as far as I know. But God gave me the ability to speak, though my body was completely incapacitated. You are a spirit being. My death was greatly exaggerated. The life that I have in God has been greatly minimized because I haven't understood how great that life is that we have. Don't tell me God isn't with us when we're ready to step into glory. I was ready to step into glory. Later, somebody would call me from out of state, call the office. Is this the church office where the pastor was in a motorcycle accident, a Pentecostal pastor? I need to talk to that preacher. The lady identified herself. She said, my husband, along with our children, we were on vacation. I have to tell you the story, Pastor. We don't normally stop for accidents, but we were moved by God to stop and get out of our vehicle, and all of us, we went to the scene. And I didn't know if you knew what was happening there, but I have to tell you what was happening there because God has not let me forget that and has put on my heart I had to find you. So I've been calling churches all around the area trying to figure out where you are. Because God wants you to know what He organized for that morning. She said, when my husband and I came up to the accident scene, where you were laying there, there was a group. You were surrounded by people who were singing in the Spirit. I thought I was in heaven. Heaven's going to have singing in the Spirit. She said, there were people praying in the Holy Ghost. There were people singing in the Holy Spirit. They were singing a new song. I didn't hear anything that I recognized, but you were surrounded by a godly team of Spirit-filled people. Now let me just tell you something. You need to know that you are not alone and that God knows where you are and God knows what you need and God knows how to surround you even when the enemy has planned to kill you. And God knows how to lift you up and carry you and deliver you. Not because I'm a physical being, but because I am a spiritual being and my spirit is God's property. God's property. Now, in my flesh, I've struggled with this. Because in my flesh, I have had splinters that hurt like crazy. I've had sand in my eyeball that hurt like crazy. I've had, 20-some broken bones. I didn't enjoy any of those. And I've had all kinds of sicknesses in my body. And I didn't enjoy any of them. I'm a wimp, really, I'll tell you. I don't really like to pray for healings, I'd prefer a miracle. I just want to get it over with and be healed. That's where I want to be. And so I've experienced these things in the flesh, and I've struggled with this question. God, since my spirit is healthy and whole, why is my flesh susceptible to the attack of the enemy? Well, maybe you've never thought questions like that. And so somebody real smart, like the disciples that weren't so smart, will come along and say, well, if you didn't have sin in your life, you wouldn't have any sickness in your body. I'm so glad that Jesus included that scenario when the disciples said, who sinned? Did this man sin or did his parents sin? Because they had that concept, and I've known preachers that have this concept, that if you have anything attacking your physical body, it's because you have sin in your life and some way you've displeased God. But Jesus didn't. He said in reference to that individual, now you can have sin in your body that releases conditions. I'm not saying you can't, but I'm just saying you could be totally righteous and have something going on in your body that you know should not be there, and you hate it, and you bind it, and you sit it down the road. Maybe you haven't had an all-night prayer meeting with your flesh saying, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of the Lord. This is not what I believe. I remember telling somebody one day. They said, well, how are you feeling? Well, I don't know that we should even ask each other how we're feeling unless we're going to pray for each other and deliver one another from the attack of the devil. Did I use that word deliver? Uh-oh. Pastor, you're going to be talking about deliverance? Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I've had people come and say to me, Pastor, do you do that deliverance thing over there? I said, Jesus does that deliverance thing every time somebody wants to be delivered. Absolutely, we do that deliverance thing. And this lady one day, she's saying, no, I understand what you're saying, but do you do that deliverance thing? I said, well, what are you talking about? She said, well, I'm talking about if there are any oppressing, controlling conditions that are of the devil, do you cast those things down and cast them out or whatever you need to do? I said, well, I've had some experience with that, and yes, if there's a manifestation, absolutely. But you see, I was so convinced, and I still am convinced, that the devil cannot take possession in your spirit, man. But let me tell you, sickness and disease has attacked this flesh and been in this flesh before.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. This program is aired each Sunday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stewart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God. Nothing is impossible when you're trusting God.